This reading is from St. John, verse 16, 4b to 15.
Praise and glory to God.
I did not tell you this at first, because I was with you, the work of the Holy Spirit. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I have these things. You are full of grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin, righteousness, and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer, and in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, much more than you can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you unto all truth. He will not speak on his own, only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring the glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from you what is mine and make it known to you. This is the Gospel of Christ.
In the church, there's a long tradition of hermits, of people separating themselves from the world so that they are no longer contaminated by the world. Many hermits also thought that the suffering of the body would lead to sanctification. And the most radical amongst those hermits were the Stylites, or pillar saints, who lived on a pillar or tower for years, sometimes partly exposed to the elements. And they had all their food brought to the base of the pillar from where they would haul it up. They had little interaction with others. But some people, of course, would ask them for advice if they could, or wanted to stay near some of these pillar saints because their holiness became legendary. Nevertheless, at the time and today, some people warn that when you're so separated, it becomes quite difficult to love our neighbor. Of course, some hermits did and continue to be involved in matters of the world as well, and they come out from seclusion and reflection to help others. I think today in our connected world, there are probably more people that want to be involved with others rather than fleeing the world, because loneliness is an experience that many of us have. And contrary to expectations, such loneliness is not just prevalent amongst the elderly, but also among young people. When they did a study, they found that some of the younger people in their late teens were actually, according to the answers, the most lonely. Of course, those people can connect online. They can connect through social media and other forms of entertainment and engagement. But the in-person connection is often missing. Because it's the meaningful interaction, whether through time spent within a group or through deeper conversations or through working together for a common purpose, that is so important for human flourishing. Of course, we all have different personalities and situations. Certainly, being alone does not equal to being lonely. We might be among a lot of people and still feel lonely, or we might be alone and yet not be lonely. It's interesting that in our gospel reading, Jesus also frames the coming of the Holy Spirit in terms of abiding presence and of connection. He tells the disciples that he will be no longer physically present with them. This close connection with the Son of God, with Jesus, that the disciples and so many others at this time experienced, that would come to an end, he says. But Jesus said that this will actually be good for them, for the disciples. For as the incarnate Word of God, as a human, Jesus had very, very real limitations. He was at one place at one time. The counselor, as the Holy Spirit is referred to here, will be different. For the counselor will be with people everywhere and lead them towards God. I think it's a comfort, for God will not leave us alone. The work brought to fulfillment in Jesus Christ, in a sense, was the beginning of God's word. And it now begins, continues through the Spirit and the Church. For through the counselor, God will not only be closer to people throughout time and space, but the coming of the Spirit also represents the drawing of believers to God. In our reading, Jesus continues to say that the counselor will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, that doesn't seem to be very comforting, but I think it addresses exactly the separation between God and humans. For it is through sin that humans are separated from God. Through sin, they are turned away from God to a life lived apart from God's goodness and grace. Well, in righteousness refers to a right relationship. And in this instance, the right relationship between God and humans. This relationship has been restored through Jesus Christ. And judgment? Well, judgment is necessary because the prince of this world, as Jesus calls that evil power which turns us away from God, stands now condemned. And so this judgment liberates humanity from enslavement to idols that often bind us here. The Spirit then works in people so that they are freed or redeemed from the powers of darkness, so that they enter into a right relationship with God through Jesus, and so that they orientate their lives towards God. Jesus then continues to say that the Spirit is a witness to Jesus and the saving work of Jesus in the hearts of those who believe. The Spirit connects God and humanity. In that way, the Spirit was already active in the people of Israel. In the Old Testament, we read that among other works of the Spirit, God's truth was revealed through the Spirit. The Spirit taught God's people faithfulness and fruitfulness, and the Spirit elicited a personal response from people so that they could come to God in prayer and praise. The Holy Spirit then is God bridging the separation between humanity and God. And through that, the Spirit addresses the loneliness of all humanity by bringing people closer to God. For in a sense, without the Spirit, without Jesus, humans as a whole are divided from God, and as such are lonely and lonesome. When we come to God through the Holy Spirit, then that loneliness, that separation for humanity as a whole is addressed. The Holy Spirit, through Jesus, invites us into that unity of love that is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, eternally loving and eternally uniting. When we celebrate Pentecost, we also normally say that we celebrate the birthday of the church. And through that, we can see that the Holy Spirit also builds community between humans. As those who follow Jesus, we are not just directed towards God, like the hermit, but also towards our neighbor, and particularly towards our fellow Christian. The Holy Spirit enables in us that threefold love which Jesus commanded. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, and love another as I have loved you. Well, we heard it earlier in the service. The Holy Spirit addresses the separation between humans and brings community instead of loneliness. And because of that, the church gives us a sense of belonging. It is the work of the Holy Spirit so that we can belong to this multi-ethnic family of God with Jesus as our focus. In our age, we often regard the spiritual as something totally private and personal, and there certainly is something deeply personal about the work of the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit also brings us together. We are not just an atomized individuals with our own little spirituality. I think it's not the work of the Spirit if we all pick and choose from the supermarket of spiritual offerings to suit our own wants and needs. Because the Spirit draws us towards Jesus and to others in the family of God. Of course, at times the church does not seem to be that community that brings people together. At times it can even be a lonely experience in church. After all, the church is all too human. That's why we pray for the constant renewal of the church, so that the light of the Spirit may direct us towards Jesus and to reaching out for each other. So let us return to our gospel reading again. Jesus says that the Spirit will guide us in all truth. The truth is from Jesus and will point to Jesus and the Father. And so here, in those words, we have an essentially Trinitarian view of God and of revelation. And we'll come to that next Sunday. So, as God spoke through Jesus, the Spirit now makes that word understandable to us in our time and our own context. And yet we know that our human understanding can only ever be partial, even with the Spirit's help. We know only too well about the error and confusion in the church in times gone by and today too. And still the Spirit brings out truth again and again, even amid human confusion. When that happens, so our Bible reading implies, the Spirit brings glory to Jesus, for people are brought to the light of the gospel, and community is restored and God is worshipped. Well, I know that Pentecost is quite a joyous occasion and we've got, you know, bright red colors and everything. But as I thought about the reading from and the work of the Spirit from this angle of community and loneliness, a prayer came into my mind. And I thought, somewhere it was in there, and I thought, where have I heard of this prayer? And finally it dawned on me that it came from the standard funeral liturgy. But I thought, well, it's still a good prayer even for this occasion. So I want to end my sermon with this prayer. So let us pray. God, our comforter, you are a refuge and a strength for us, a helper close at hand in times of distress. Help us so to hear the words of our faith that our fear is dispelled, our loneliness eased, and our hope reawakened. May your Holy Spirit fill us and lift us to the peace and light of your constant love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.